Welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. On this edition of the game, I will be joined by co-host Alex Parr. It will be a full one-segment episode of the Game Sports Podcast, where Alex and I will discuss the NHL offseason, including the draft and free agent frenzy, and we'll also be getting into news about the WWE. Let's go. Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. It is David McKaig Jr., the host of the Game Sports Podcast, and I'm joined by Alex Parr, my co-host. Alex, my friend, It's been a few weeks. It's been a little bit of time. Actually, been a little bit longer than that. I had a few solo episodes there. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I was going to say, it feels like probably closer to a month at least. It can't just be a few weeks, can it?
Who knows time? It's summertime, and I feel like time is different in the summer. I don't know. That's why I'm wearing pink. A pink with palm trees, trying to feel like I'm south of the border, you know. But it really feels really hot here, especially if you're in Canada. It is really, really hot in Ontario, but I am not complaining. But obviously our summer, we have different schedules. The show's schedule is once a week still, but obviously sometimes the schedule can be sporadic and what the content is. So yeah, I was solo for a little bit of a couple of the shows there, Par, but you know what? That's okay. I'm just happy you're here with me tonight, my friend.
Of course. Where else am I going to be? Well, I mean, probably golfing, but not today. Golfing. Too hot.
Or enjoying the sun. Something.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, obviously there's been a lot of great content the Game Sports Podcast has uploaded, but recently with Brandon Prust, that episode was fantastic. Brandon is such a great guy. And we've kept in touch since that recording, which I will admit was back in January. Okay, so yeah, my fault when it comes to, you know, the time lapse in between that upload. But the content's still relevant. It is still great. He had so many great stories in there, especially about his time in London. They had a stacked squad in London when they were there. London's always got a good team.
Yeah.
But they had a especially good team with Rob Schramm. Corey Perry was on that team as well. And the list goes on. And obviously had a pretty great NHL career despite, you always want to win the Stanley Cup and that kind of completes your career. But he had a great career where he was an effective player on the Rangers. He was effective on the Habs. He was a fan favorite. Right. So then it was great catching up with him. So you can check that out. And obviously before that, Rod Black was also great. We even talked about his son, Tyler Black, who's in the major leagues right now playing with the Brewers, former first round pick to the Brewers. So a lot of great stuff to catch up on. Just check that out on all of our platforms. And here tonight, we got the agenda that I've already talked about at the beginning. So Par and I are going to get right into it. But before we do, I am going to start something on more of a, I don't want to be a sad note, but I want to make sure I get this out before I might forget doing it at the end. So there was a friend of mine that I hung around with in my mid-20s for a few years, and someone that I lost contact with a little bit as life transitioned was for that reason, and he passed away. His name was Luke Morley. He passed away with sarcoma cancer just at the very young age of 33. Very sad, so I want to say rest in peace to Luke. He was a great guy, somebody that was just great to be around. Friends of mine obviously know him really well. Kane, a co-host of the Game Sports Podcast as well, knows him quite well from his time out Red Lake. I want to say rest in peace to Luke Morley. Certainly was very saddened to hear that news this past weekend from a good friend of mine, Sean, and he will definitely be missed. I shared the obituary and the information on my personal Facebook page. If you'd like to have any of that information sent to you, just please let me know if you did know Luke's. I know there'll be friends of mine that will listen to the show and may have not heard of that news and that very sad news. So rest in peace to Luke Morley. Alex, there's also sports we have to talk about, and I tried to keep as much as I could for us to talk about, because you can only talk to yourself so much in a show. I mean, I can run my mouth for hours and just go, but it's a lot more fun when it gets to talking about the signings now and getting into, well, obviously the last time I had an episode was when the Edmonton Oilers lost the Stanley Cup Finals to the Florida Panthers, which would have been nice if Dane was able to join us tonight as we expected, but he won't be joining us. But to talk about that. But it's okay. I've talked about it. We're going to talk about the other side of the offseason, where teams think that they've made improvements, or they have made improvements, or they've done nothing, which is sometimes always the best thing, the teams that do nothing, especially free agency if you overpay for players, is my point for that. If you pay too much term, too much money, and I'm not hinting at anything right there just yet. We'll get to that point. But obviously, free agency has happened in the National Hockey League, Par, and teams were busy. So I want to go to you first, okay, about the NHL entry draft first, though, okay? Macklin Celebrini goes one.
Okay.
Honestly, I've had the thought that this kid, I know he signed his entry-level deal in San Jose, I thought it would have made sense for him to go back 1 year to college. And I know the Buffalo Sabres had that same project with Owen Power, defenseman, different player. I'm a big fan of Owen Power. I would dream for him to play for the team that I cheer for. I feel Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks part. I feel San Jose is still well, but being in any which way, being the team that can start making noise. Connor Bedard's a different player, right? That's a generational talent. I don't consider Macklin Celebrini a generational talent like a Crosby, McDavid. I consider Matthews in that regard too. I'd say that's a generational talent. If people disagree, I'd like to hear that below. So what are your thoughts about maybe San Jose? They still can. They can still send him back before a 10-game, right? There's still things you can do, but it seems like he's going to be playing with the San Jose Sharks this year. Is that a good move or a bad move?
I mean, development-wise, probably not the best. Like you say, it'd probably be best for him to go and play against competition closer to his skill level instead of having nobody to pass to, nobody to defend for mistakes, no goalie that can't make a save. But if I was to say, hey, Dave, do you want to skip school, make $4.5 million and go play in the NHL instead? You would say?
Absolutely not. Just kidding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'd say, no, I got to hit the books. I got a degree to finish. No. When you're 18 years old and you're faced with a $4.5 million decision, when instead of going to the NHL, you could risk an injury and maybe never making that money ever again and ruining your career, you got to bet on yourself, something that he's done his whole career. So why stop now?
No, I can agree to that point too. I just feel that San Jose is almost like what Buffalo was at that point. Buffalo is still we'll talk about Buffalo for a couple of reasons, but Macklin, I just feel like, as I mentioned, he's on a Bedard. And if you go to Chicago, I feel like that culture is different in Chicago. It's a different feel. Like, Chicago wasn't as bad as San Jose was, but people will say, yes, they were. Look at the record, right? But let's not forget, Bedard did miss a good chunk of the season. There, if you have Bedard in your lineup, do you win more games? Yes. Do you win a significant amount more games? No. But they probably would have won maybe 5 to 7 more games with him in the lineup. And then all of a sudden, they don't have the second overall pick. They would have had the 6th, the 5th overall pick. But nonetheless, this draft part, what I want to get to, besides Macklin Celebrini, was a defenseman-heavy draft, okay? Lavshinov goes to Chicago. Selviev also goes in the top 10 of defensemen that I really enjoyed watching. And obviously, Tyj Ginla goes to Utah. Very cool story about being Jerome's son and getting drafted. You're starting to see these kids get drafted at fathers in the NHL that I used to follow. It's really cool. But I felt like this could have been a year where teams should have maybe spent a little bit to move up in the draft to try to buy those picks. But I don't think those picks were on the block, Par. I feel like this year, nobody wanted to get out of that top 10 or trade out of the top 10 because of how good the defensive prospects were and how even the talent was.
The draft came, 3 or 4 days after the Stanley Cup Finals finished? I have no idea of where anybody went except for Macklin Celebrini and Danford, I think, is the guy that was drafted by the Leafs. So yeah. I got no idea. You would be way more knowledgeable on this. Unlike you absolute crazy nut job. I need a break from this sport. I love it. It's my favorite sport to cheer for. But holy, this season has felt long.
It just ended.
And it's like, okay, Stanley Cup Finals, 3 days apart, bang, now the draft, bang, now free agency, bang. Okay, NHL, like let's try to figure this out before next year. Like I don't care about hockey in June that's 3 days apart. I can't finish that and then immediately keep picking all this stuff up. I need a breather, NHL. Yep. I need some time to breathe. And think about like the general manager of the Oilers and all the front office guys. They don't even get the joy of having that long of a season that ended up in a win. They got to immediately go back to work. They're going to go to sleep and wake up the next day after they took a big fat game 7-0 and ask their scouts who they should be picking with their draft picks. Nuts. And like, I feel like the best product that we can put out entertainment wise and skill wise is when these players are rested and when people have their brains, you know, they got the time to turn off a little bit instead of just pedal to the metal the whole way. Yeah, super long season. No, So I honestly have no real idea about what happened to the draft, because I, unlike the teams, get to turn it off a little bit. And I hopefully people at home, unless you're a Florida Panthers fan, were able to turn it off a little bit as well.
Oh, we know the Oilers fans certainly tried to turn it off. You know that they're still hurting, those Oilers fans.
Oh, well,
you know, I got to say cheers, you know what, to the Edmonton Oilers for a couple reasons. One, you guys were awful at the beginning of the season. I thought this was going to be just a joke of a season, but it was still early, so there's still a little bit of saying, okay, there's still a lot of time, and they bounced back. Coaching change, so on. We've talked about it on this podcast. And then they go to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they did well. I didn't think with that goaltending that they had the chance to win. But I guess when you have 97 on your team, 29, like I know people are saying about McDavid in game 6 and 7 wasn't there. Dreisaitl had his struggles in the cup finals and whatnot. But McDavid broke the record in terms of Gretzky for assists. So you can't. No, he gets the Conn Smythe for the right reason. And I talked about that in the previous episode. I don't care. I remember watching J.S. Chiguer when New Jersey beat Anaheim. And J.S. Chiguer deserved it that year. I was saying, oh, my God. J.S. Chiguer outplayed Brodeur by a landslide. And Brodeur is one of, if not, the best goaltenders of all time. So, honestly, that can happen. And I don't think it's stupid that you give an MVP to a player that lost. But that's not the point of this conversation. Point is, the Oilers had such a good year, and there's a lot of positive to look at. And this offseason, which we're going to get to in a moment here, the Oilers added. I thought after day one, you know, they lost Vincent Desharnais, they're losing pieces. I'm like, oh, they're losing guys. And all of a sudden, Edmonton Oilers like, yeah. Wait a second. We have things coming in right now. And they added. And it's before I get into that, the draft, too close. I get it. Free agency. Too close.
Much. It's so too much.
The new CBA is looking for a lot of those changes.
They're looking to add more games. They want to go to 84 games in the regular season. Are you kidding me? I don't even want to watch 82. I think you can cut 20 of those games out, and I would be just as happy. But there's money to be made, Dave. There's money to be made.
Always money to be made. Now, I will say, as you're a Leaf fan, you can answer this. The Leafs drafted a defenseman first round. Right-handed, big defenseman.
Yep.
The Dubas era is over. That is a tree living pick through and through. A tall, big, right-handed shot defenseman, or just a defenseman in general. That is a very, they're trying to do a new image in Toronto, I think, with these prospects. And I liked that they moved down the draft. I know Stane Stahlberg got the Anaheim pick. That's who I wanted. I talked to him a little bit in my previous episode. He broke the record. I believe it was close to the record in hits in Europe as a defenseman. It was wild. I'm like, that's the guy that you want back there. But I guess, you know, hits don't always create wins. It could create penalties too. So there's a lot to that. But I think moving down the draft was a good move by Toronto to get more picks, first and second rounders, right? That's something that they lost a lot of. But that's what happens when you're in a win now mode. But as a Leaf fan, Parr, was that a good pick? A defenseman, end of the first round? You know, was that what you were looking to get? Or do you just want them to pick the best player available? And maybe he was that guy.
I always want them to pick the best player available. None of these guys that are in your 20th to 30th first round picks are going to play in the window of Matthews and Nylander and
good point.
Whoever else is still around. So, I mean, I don't know. Trading down in the draft, I think, is great. Get more draft picks that you can trade at the deadline for rentals. May as well. Like you say, it's win now mode. So what's the point of investing too much materials? I think that's not the word I'm looking for. Resources into this
assets.
Draft.
Yeah.
There's no point in wasting them in this draft when these players aren't going to take effect and help your team now. So pick the best available player. Do it every single time. And I guess we'll see what happens with Ben, I believe his name is, and 5 years-ish time?
10 years.
No, he won't be 28 making his debut, but
that aside, the draft was, I think, it was a good draft overall, the terms of where the picks went, and I think a lot of teams made some good moves, but Anaheim picking Brett Seneke third overall when he was supposed to go 20th. The kid almost fell out of his chair. He was so shocked. I was shocked. Everyone was shocked. But that's what the offseason is about in the draft. Now, free agency part.
Okay.
A lot of things. Nashville decided to say, you know what? Hee-haw, right? Like, let's jump on the horse. Let's jump on the saddle, whatever term you want to go with, and let's spend our money. Let's go out and make a splash. And you know what? I will reference this quote. I don't mind referencing this quote. It's from SDPN. I heard it on TikTok today. Chris Johnson was on their podcast, and he said, that they got guys with chips on their shoulder. Brady Shea, Carolina didn't want to pay him. Great defenseman. A lot of term. Speaking of term, a lot of teams spent a lot of term to get the player you want. Stamkos and Marchessault. Marchessault is coming off of Vezina. Coming off a Conn Smythe winning playoff just a year before this year. Stamkos has scored 60 in this league, and he has been a goal-scoring machine. He's still effective. And Tampa said, the hell to paying you. We're going to pay Jake Guentzel before we pay you, which blows my mind. I still think Stammer over Guentzel.
Doesn't blow my mind even a little bit.
I think Stammer's better than Guentzel.
Let's just hang on to the whole crew and see what happens and just keep throwing shit at the wall and seeing if we can do it again. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that sound like?
Yeah. It's a team that wears blue and white and doesn't want to change. Yeah. No. It's time. Stammer, $8 million a year until you're 38 years old. You know how hard it is to win with that contract on your team?
They're not winning. They want to win now. They want to try somehow. They got guys to do. I shouldn't say somehow. They got a good team, but.
Well, okay, think about Tampa. Like, they've got players that are really good right now, and in 4 years' time, probably aren't going to be as good or as effective. They're going to have to make a pretty big and significant turnover to keep being competitive, and that's the move that's going to make it. It's a league where you got to make hard decisions. Vegas was the first team to make hard decisions, and everybody went, whoa, how could you do that to your players? And then they won a Stanley Cup. And now other teams are realizing you don't have to be nice to these players. It's a business. You can tell these guys to kick rocks if you think it's going to make your team better. Yep. Can Tampa be wrong in telling Stamkos, you know, pack your stuff? Yeah, absolutely. But if you're playing the percentages, it's probably the move to make.
Everyone looks at loyalty, right? And says, he was loyal. He was loyal. But I think those days are time to – you said it right on the top right there. You said business. It's a business. You're trying to win. And I still would take Stammer over Guentzel right now. But
if they're both on one-year deals.
One-year deals, I'm taking Stammer over Guentzel.
Sure.
In a five-year deal, Guentzel, younger, right? So that's a great point. That is a great point. But you have gotten guys that have chips on their shoulder. Nashville's trying to win now. They've signed Soros to a lofty extension. Again, very good goaltender. But it leaves Yaroslav Askarov, who I've been a fan of since day one.
Oh my God.
Okay. I understand that nowadays in the NHL, you have 1A, 1B. You have all the options everyone look at. Look at what Boston did with Allmark and Swayman, right? Allmark and Swayman. Swayman's now, as I drop my mic piece on the ground, Swayman is now the one who's leading the charge in Boston, and Allmark's gone. But that people think they're going to move Askarov. I'm sure they would for the right price. They're trying to win now, maybe build up some whatever they want. But why the hell not keep somebody else? Soros gets hurt. Guess what? Askarov slides on in there, and he's your guy who can take over.
No, he doesn't. Scott Wedgwood does.
Right now Scott is the backup, right? But I would still, if Soros got hurt, even if that happened, I'm putting Askarov in over Wedgwood, in my honest opinion.
Nashville's not when they signed him to $1.5 million for 2 years.
No, because he's playing, I will fix that after. He's playing the backup role for a reason, but I think if Askarov, because he lit up the minors, you got to get that guy playing time, or if not, you're trading him then. You're trading him. If he's not playing on your team within these 2 years, you got to – it hinders development, or it can make him upset, which who cares, right? It's a business. It's you own him. It's your choice.
Well, if you're keeping him, you don't want to make him upset. But, yeah, otherwise, whatever. Yeah, if you want to fix your mic, mute yourself when I'm talking for something and then throw it on. And then
I was going to do that. Thanks for that lesson. I'm just going to keep it off a little bit. I'm going to keep it a little bit – give it some air. You know, it's been a while since I had some air. That aside, other teams we'll talk about, because I don't want to get too into our time before we have to talk about the redrafts. The Leafs made moves. Detroit made moves. Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers.
What is Detroit doing?
Spending money. Edmonton Oilers make a trade with the Buffalo Sabres that scratched everybody's head. Okay, like Buffalo is what I was scratching my head about, not Edmonton. Edmonton's like, yeah, good job making that deal. There's obviously the Bruins signing Zadorov and signing Lindholm, which Lindholm's not a surprise, but Zadorov, dang, especially if you're some teams that cheer for Canadian teams, you thought maybe there'd be a chance he'd go to one or two of them, or one of the two of them. That being, I thought the Oilers would be on that too, but they weren't. And obviously the Carolina Hurricanes, where are they? They've lost Pesci, Shea, Teravainen, Part. I just listed a whole bunch of things on the floor. pick what you want to vent about before you come to me, and then we'll talk 91 redraft.
I think the Detroit Red Wings are the biggest losers of all time when it comes to this free agency. They trade Jake Walman for future considerations when right now they could use a top four defenseman. Sure, he had a down year recovering from injuries, but that is a mind-boggling move. What else did they do? They signed Tarasenko and Eric Gustafson and Cam Talbot, all guys that would suggest that they're trying to win now. Those are improvements to your roster right now. And then you trade Robbie Fabry for draft picks. I know that his cap hits high, and I know that he's, you know, he's an NHLer, but he's not a star by any means. But what are we doing? We're trading our top four defenseman and a middle six center for nothing that's going to be on your team today, and then you're signing players that you want to win now with. What?
Tarasenko, you re-sign Kane. Like,
wow.
I can see Kane because he was there last year.
I don't think Kane's re-signed yet. I don't think Kane's re-signed.
One-year extension. One-year extension.
Yeah?
Okay. One-year extension. Should be. Should be.
Yeah. Six and a half. Yep. Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, what are you doing? Just pick one. If you want to be bad, be bad. If you want to be good, try. They got a lot of work to do when it comes to that. So, yeah, I just want to know, like, this whole Eiser plan thing, I don't know, Detroit fans. I think it might be time. You guys should start turning on the guy. But what do I know? I'm a Leafs fan and blah, blah, blah. It's Kyle Dubas. Brad for living, you know? So
again, it's not us who hired those folks at the front office. I know every Red Wing fan, and I've been one to say, as an owner, I'm a big fan of Steve Yzerman. I think he's done great things in Tampa Bay. He built that team in Tampa more than baseball has. And that team has won a cup. And Detroit, I'm not doubting Yzerman, but I do have a lot of questions.
Oh, I'm doubting him.
Never mind this year. You know who he signed last year? Justin Hall. $3.5 million.
Yeah.
Like, are we forgetting this signing?
For like 4 years, too, no?
I'm not forgetting this signing. I just like Justin Hall so much. Like, he's not a good defenseman. The guy was trash. He was good for the first 2 weeks. Everyone's like, oh, no, Larry Murphy 2.0. Are you kidding me right now? Justin Hall, Larry Murphy 2.0. Listen, not a chance.
Well,
okay?
They said, well, we swung and missed on the sloppy seconds of the Leafs. Oh, I know what we can do this year. Let's do it 2 times. Three times. William Legison, Eric Gustafson, and Jack Campbell. Come on over. Come on.
Vezina's favorite Jack Campbell last year, as per Anthony Stewart. Okay. Not chirping Anthony Stewart. That's not a chirp. But
yeah, it's just a bad take. We've had a million bad takes.
Yes, we have. For sure.
You wanted me to stop you at 20 minutes. We're at 23.
Okay, so I will keep mine short and sweet. I got texts about the Leafs. Look, if you want to get the player that you want, you're going to have to pay the term. Everyone says that everyone who knows hockey says, well, that TANF contract's going to not age well. You know where it's going to age? On Robida Island. If you know what Robida Island is, let me know. Comment below or ask me if you don't know what it is. The Leafs aren't done, I hope. I think that offense, I think, needs a little bit of tweaking still. I think a David Kampf. Kyle, I'm an okay fan of Kyle Yarncrook, but I think you might have to move him and maybe a Robertson to improve that. David Kamp's got to go. That's too much money for a guy who plays fourth line. You can substitute that with somebody who makes a million or 1.5 instead of 2.5 or 3, whatever David Kamp is. He's around that ballpark.
2.4.
Somewhere around there. It's still too high for a fourth line center who's not a third liner. They try to play him as such. The Toronto Maple Leafs, I don't think, are done. This rumor about Alex Nylander now. Everyone's rumored in Toronto. It's been like
everyone,
that since I was
a child. Always.
And this Marner stuff, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I had a prediction that maybe this would be an active offseason. I think it is. I think Tree Living made some good moves. I know the term is questionable. I like Tanev.
It's the best defenseman Morgan Riley will ever play with in his entire tenure as a Leaf.
Yep. And Oliel, man, he had a good year in Florida. He bounced back. He deserved that payday. He deserved the payday. But again, is he going to, like,
it's
second round power play? It's fine. It's the
fine.
Defensive core is improved.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Timothy Liljegren, but you know what? I was before. Give the kid a chance. He's had some injuries. Maybe there'll be change. But I think they're not done. Other teams going around the horn. Buffalo's trade with Edmonton. What are you thinking, Buffalo?
That was so
stupid. It's not even funny anymore how dumb the Buffalo Sabres and how bad that I hope that they are for a long time. I feel so bad for Sabres fans, man. Like, they get this nice, exciting prospect, and look what happens. My God. No. This offseason's been busy, though. It's been great, and we'll talk about it more when Dane's on, because there's going to be a lot more to talk about in next week's or the following week's episode. But par. Yes, I'm sticking to the time today. So we got the redraft. I'm trying my best. We got the 91 redraft. Then I do got something very awesome to ask you about last night before we close up. And
okay.
We are going to get to just hockey and a little bit of this fun news today. We're not going to get into anything else. I did plan baseball, but to talk MLB, but I'm gonna hold that for now.
Yeah, you said you were aiming for 15 minutes. Hard, you were like hard cut off at 25. Hard cut off at 25. 25-42, 25-43. All right,
here
what do we got?
Go. 91 redraft. Par, you can go first. Remind everybody, it's been a segment of our show for, well, a number of months now. We've been doing it for most of the season. We'll continue until we get to today. The NHL redraft, what we do, we redraft the top five of that year that we are talking about that we know today. And we're doing 1991 right now, and that's a good year because that is my birth year.
Just hey. So everybody knows.
Yeah, fun fact. That is my birth year. Now, Par. Lead us.
I will. Number five, I'm going to go 5-1. Chris Osgood, great goalie. Stanley Cup under the belt. One or two even, I don't remember. Number four, Marcus Naslund. Number three, Peter Forsberg. Just didn't have enough games to get me to boost him up any higher than that. I had Alex Kovalev going number two and Scott Niedermayer going number one. That's what you get, Eric Lindros, for saying you didn't want to go to the Greyhounds. You don't even get drafted. You go undrafted.
I love that we have a different amount of picks here. And my fifth picks, everything's controversial. I love it. Going for 5-1 as well. The Winnipeg Jets are proud to select Way Whitney. Okay. The fourth overall pick, the New York Islanders are proud to select Eric Lindros. The third overall pick, the New Jersey Devils are proud to select Alexei Kovalev. With the second overall pick, the San Jose Sharks are proud to select Peter Forsberg. And with the first overall pick, the Quebec Nordiques are proud to select, big fan, Scott Niedermayer.
Gotta be. Okay.
Got it. Defend, longevity, leader, go with that. Marcus Naslund and Whitney were the two that I was flirting with five. Even Osgood was in my 6 and 7. Those would be the following picks. People may think I'm nuts, but again, I went with Way Whitney because of the games he's played. Longevity, he had a good effect. He was a top 6 forward. He was really effective in his career, and I think that's big. And the reason why I took Lindros fourth is because what I know today is I think Lindros would have went to the New York Islanders. He wouldn't have requested a trade. That trade that he requested from Quebec has made the Colorado Avalanche what they are today as a legendary organization.
It's crazy, that trade. Go, if you're listening to this right now and you don't know the trade, you won't believe it if you go and look it up. You won't. You'll literally, I hope you're sitting down when you read it.
Quebec, that's the best thing. Sorry, Quebec. Maybe I shouldn't say Quebec, Colorado. Either one, whatever you want to look at, that's the best trade that has happened to you. All right, Par. Look, transitioning from hockey, you know, we're only doing one segment today. Commercial free, because obviously Dane and Connor both couldn't join us. So you had to improvise and just do what we can. Alex Parr and I love talking about wrestling. We were playing Chell this past weekend. You know what Chell is? I hope you do. We've been talking about it for the last 29 minutes. NHL video games. Parr and I had a very good conversation the other day, and we've been talking a lot about WWE on the show for the past year. Scott Nason, late Scott Nason, obviously co-founder of the show with me, always talked about wrestling with Butch. Again, Butch is someone who was involved with the game before, now does his own podcast, who's affiliated with our channels, but besides that, WWE was something we didn't talk about for a few years, or at least after the first year after Scott passed. That was Scott's forte. Little did I know that I could talk about it with this guy a little bit more. And we do have a character on our show that hasn't been on in 4 or 5 years, Intercontinental Inch. Okay, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
But Alex, you were at Monday Night Raw. Right now we're recording July 9th. That's yesterday. July 8th was Monday Night Raw. It's Tuesday. Spoiler, we're not live. Event that you saw, I was installing my new cable box, so I didn't get a chance to see it all, but I saw the tail end, and you know what I saw at the end?
I do know what you saw at the end.
I saw at the end, but I didn't see after she came out. I had the bell call me again, and I had to go downstairs and do something with my internet, long story short. Nonetheless, I thought maybe she would have beat up Dom, but she didn't. Tell the listeners, you were there, you were in person, what happened?
Overall in the show, I feel like they played it pretty close to the chest, pretty safe most of the time. The star power came out at the start with CM Punk and Seth Rollins having their little rap battle, I guess, if you would like to call it that, their promo. Cool to see CM Punk listen to the theme and all that. That was awesome.
Cool personality.
Yeah, great song. The main event for that night was Rey Mysterio and Zelina Vega in a mixed tag match against Dirty Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. So the feud's been going on for a while now. Liv Morgan's been trying to, she stole the title already from Rhea. Now she's going for her man. And Rhea was back. There was rumors for it going into the show, and they played on to it a little bit. And I figured they probably wouldn't put that match on as the main event if something significant wasn't going to happen. So, you know, no shame to anyone in there. Rey Mysterio, obviously a legend, but I kind of figured that something was going to happen. And yeah, what a pop. She actually got a very, very loud pop. It was cool. So you've got a lot to build on now in the road to SummerSlam, which is still a little ways away. So they'll be able to build that story a bit. Surprisingly enough, Pat McAfee wasn't at Money in the Bank in Toronto this past weekend, but he was doing commentary on Raw. So he was there. He was talking to the crowd a little bit. I love Pat. His show's great. I think he's an awesome podcast.
7 hours a day.
Yeah.
Every day.
At Monday to Friday. Yeah, it's nuts.
Unreal, dude.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It was awesome to see. Big fan of Pat, so it was pretty cool. But yeah, it's cool living in a big city where these things just happen. The tickets were super cheap. It was nice to just go and have a couple bevvies and some popcorn and just, instead of watching it on my couch, watching it at the CTC.
How shredded is Rhea Ripley, man?
Dude. My God, man. Absolutely yoked.
I want her workout plan.
Bro, there's no chance either one of us could do it. There's no chance that if we split it in half that we could finish it. Whatever it is.
Does Dom do a workout plan? Doesn't look like he does anywhere. He doesn't look one of us. He just sits down and has a couple pints. But I'm not saying he has a – no. He doesn't. I mean, he just chills. He's one of those guys, I feel like.
Well, he was eating chicken nuggets last weekend or last Monday, right? I never knew that you were what brought you back into it. Like, I never knew something did. Like, what was it that kind of reeled you back in? Was it the Rocket Mania? And now you're host, eh?
See, honestly, I going through my phone, it's in my algorithm where I get the clips of WWE uploads and on the sports podcast Instagram page, a little plug, the videos come up because we were following it before. So now it's more up, right? Because the algorithm, the phone, the way the phones hear you talk. So I got into it and I got kind of attracted to the storyline with The Rock, Cody Rhodes. And I was obviously invested as Roman Reigns was. I know it's all acting, it's all entertainment, but him holding that belt for as long as he did and doing such a good job. I watched a lot of the WWE Rivals and the documentary. Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar was one that I recently watched. The story modes of those old Attitude Era, it kind of got me back into it as they now brought back some of those Attitude Eras, right? The Rock, the Bloodline is not like the NWO in any which way, but because nothing will beat the NWO. But okay. They have those teams together that are trying. Triple H is doing, overall, my point is, a tremendous job putting storylines together. And that's what's putting me invested into it.
Okay.
The Rock was definitely a big part of it.
Okay, so The Rock brought you back into it. Who are some of the newcomers that weren't around when you were watching it when you were younger, now that have kind of caught your eye and are impressing you?
You know, I almost wanted to say, like, I always maybe thought CM Punk, but no, he was around before I stopped watching.
Not the Attitude Era.
He was after that, but it was kind of new when I stopped watching it.
Mm.
If I had to say somebody who hasn't, Cody Rhodes. I like Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
He's good. He is.
He doesn't do it for me.
Roman Reigns. I'm a fan of Roman Reigns.
So good.
He wasn't around when I was into it, so I can say that knowing that I think he's an absolute beast. He's an athlete. And if I had to think of somebody third, you know, honestly.
You don't have to give me three. You're good. If you just have those two, that's good too, man.
Those are two, but I do like Seth Rollins. But I got to give love to Kevin Owens. That's one guy that I'm most impressed with is Kevin Owens. I know friend of the show, Bruce Boudreaux, is a big fan of Kevin Owens, obviously.
And Sami Zayn, yes. Man, I paid money to watch Sami Zayn get his ass punked. I was so upset. That's my boy. That's my guy.
Your guy. Yeah, I love Kevin Owens. But some of the guys, you still see Randy Orton still there.
Yeah.
That was that. Right? Great stuff. It is. Triple H doing a tremendous job, and that's what's getting some of the Attitude Era, may I say, generation back into it. Prior Attitude Era, there's still some investment there, but it's more so, I feel, the generation that I watch is getting back into it a little bit more because of the storylines, and keep that up. Because it's going to be built today.
Do you want to watch SummerSlam together? I can share my screen. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I mean, watch it legally, both of us.
I'll stay legally. I can stream it on pay-per-view, and then I can stream it to any of my devices. There you go. That's what we said. So you want to watch SummerSlam together? Sure.
Yeah.
Way that is appropriate for us.
Hop in a party and just chat it up, have some pints. So it'll be a Saturday.
SummerSlam. Storylines of these older guys come back. I want to keep seeing that. And John Cena retiring. I got to say quick, I know our time is 10 over. I got to get to the wrap up here. John Cena, I love John Cena. Who doesn't? The guy is also just a tremendous human being. right? Like, he does so much. I saw a video of him when he gave a video to a kid for his mother, or he with the child was sick. Either way, he is such a wholesome human being. And with his retirement from the WWE, I'm really excited for his farewell tour and how that's going to involve some big storylines. I want to see some of the older guys still come back. Where's Stone Cold at, man? I want Stone Cold. I want to hear that glass shatter.
You missed it. The Mania before last, he came back and fought Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I know that. Yes, but
that's
never
going to happen again.
No,
dude.
You don't think? Oh,
no.
Man, come
no.
on. I want to hear that glass shatter one more time. When I was watching Mania 40 this year, Undertaker.
They wanted to bring him back when Undertaker was there, but the contract just – they couldn't figure it out. So,
see, Undertaker was a great choice. That was great.
Oh,
but I
yeah.
would have died. If I would have –
The Rock and Stone Cold.
Oh, my God. I would have – I was already falling out of my chair. You can ask my wife. I was like a child watching WWE again. I've never been – that was the best storytelling in WWE history. I don't
it was just like a kid with his action figures. Like, yeah, the Rock and Roman Reigns, and then John Cena comes, and there's the Undertaker. That's exactly what I felt
that
like
had
it
to
was.
Be, that's, that had to be their mindset.
Yeah, they're like,
had to be the mindset. Right
how can
there.
This just be as fun as possible? What's just going to go over and has everybody just so happy?
Drooling, like
yeah.
I was drooling. That's supposed to be a drool. If you saw me on video, I don't know if that was just looked like a stupid face, but that's what that was supposed to be. All right, Alex, terrific. We talked hockey and wrestling. That's
cool.
Great. We avoided talking about any NBA updates or any MLB stuff in this. Again, there will not be a second segment. We're just doing one segment here today, here on the Game Sports Podcast. And we do plan to have an episode next week. Just keep an eye on our ticker because schedule may change throughout the summer.
One last thing, just as we wrap up here. Let's go, Canada. Let's make history tonight.
Oh, what the?
Let's
How
be Argentina. Okay. Yeah, we didn't even talk about them.
Yes. My goodness.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be in this chair right now.
8 o'clock tonight, baby. I don't know when this is going to be up. I don't know if my spirits will already be crushed by the time you're hearing it. But let's go. Let's do it. Why not us, huh? Why not?
I have something good segue for that good little promo ticket. The full-time podcast with Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, they talk all of that fun stuff. They do the soccer work, so I don't have to. So, you know what? If you want to hear soccer, you make sure you check out the 91 Network YouTube channel to get caught up on that. And they will be talking about tonight's big match between Canada and Argentina. And fun fact, my favorite soccer player is Messi.
Oh,
yikes. But I'm... Well, Canada all day, baby. Okay, I'm Canadian, just so everybody knows. But why I started liking soccer as I got older was because of Messi and all that. That's quite the brutal story. Nonetheless, until next time, Par, I want to say thank you very much, my friend.
Of course.
We hope we're planning next week, but it might be the following week. Like I said, everyone, keep an eye on the ticker or just keep an eye on our social medias, okay? That's what I can tell you. We have a lot of we have some interview shows coming up that we're going to be recording. In the meantime, while we're not uploading, there's a lot of things that we're accomplishing here as the summer goes on. And reminder is that we have our annual vacation once a year, mid-August until after Labor Day, because after Labor Day, we're back to 2 episodes a week. So I want everyone to just be reminded of that. Now, Alex, again, thank you very much. Until next time, listeners, I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.